This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. It is conference weekend where members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are blessed to be able to listen to modern-day prophets who are able to have inspiration from God. What an amazing privilege. During our infancy as a church, we, of course, had the blessing to have Joseph Smith as the initial prophet, seer, and revelator of the church. And today, I wanted to talk about most, but not all, because time will not permit, but most of the major visions that Joseph Smith had. There are many, and it's not often that people will somehow make a list and then talk about all of those. Who was Joseph Smith, and what did he do to have these visions? The short answer is that he was called by God. We learn in Doctrine and Covenants section 21, verse 1, that he was to be called a seer, a translator, and a prophet, because that's what a seer is. A seer is literally someone who sees, a seer. The Book of Mormon also has this kind of a definition in Mosiah chapter 8, verse 13. We read that a seer is one who possesses a gift from God to translate ancient records. And this happens by seeing to allow the translation. And that's quite a fascinating statement right there that helps us understand what the translation consisted of. Mosiah 8:16 says that no one can have a greater gift than being a seer, at least in mortal life. Visions can take many different forms: appearances of angels, deity, occasionally even Satan, which happened right before the first vision, seeing the veil parted or lifted, dreams, views through the Nephite interpreter, sometimes called the Urim and Thummim, or viewing things through the seer stone, were all methods that Joseph Smith used at different points in time. One of the lesser known visions of Joseph Smith happened in January of 1841. By the way, I'm not doing these in chronological order. January 1841, Joseph Smith gave a detailed description of what the Apostle Paul looked like. He said this, quote, "He's about 5 foot high, very dark hair, dark complexion, dark skin, large Roman nose, sharp face, small black eyes, penetrating as eternity, round shoulders, a whining voice except when elevated, and then it almost resembles the roaring of a lion. He was a good orator, active and diligent, always employing himself in doing good to his fellow men," close quote. You can tell from that description, Joseph Smith really knows the Apostle Paul in terms of his appearance and the way he conducted his life and even his method of speaking. That could only be the result of some kind of a vision. We ought to mention a couple of points here about Joseph Smith. One is the large number of visions that he had, and a second remarkable feature of them is that with many, there were others present. More about that later. Of course, the first one, and perhaps the most widely known one, happened in the Sacred Grove in spring of 1820, when the Father and the Son, and often not mentioned, but true, based on several of Joseph Smith's own personal accounts of the Sacred Grove manifestation of the Father and Son, the first vision, many angels also appeared. So we have Father, Son, and many angels in 1820. This initial manifestation is really important for doctrinal purposes, but it's not the only time when Joseph Smith saw both the Father and the Son in the same vision. More about that later. After the first vision, in the time period when the Book of Mormon was being translated and published, 1820 through 1830, Moroni appeared very most often. We can document through Joseph Smith's diaries and journals, the diaries and journals of others, and the official history of the church, 22 separate appearances of the angel Moroni. That is quite a miraculous thing. In the Wentworth letter published in the Times and Seasons, sort of after the fact, the Wentworth letter is the thing from which we have the Articles of Faith. It mentions that he had received many visits from angels of God. So there's another reference from Joseph Smith himself that he saw many different angels. Joseph never mentioned publicly, as far as we know, who all the ministering angels were, those angels that are described in the first vision, but John Taylor gave us an indication of some of them. John Taylor made this comment, and he knew Joseph Smith, and we suppose that he heard this from the lips of Joseph Smith. Quote, the principles which he had, meaning Joseph Smith, placed him in communication with the Lord, and not only with the Lord, but also with ancient apostles and prophets, such men, for instance, as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Adam, Seth, Enoch, the ancient apostles that lived on this continent, as well as those who lived on the Asiatic continent. He seemed to be as familiar with these people as we are with one another, close quote. That's a remarkable statement. Gives us a partial list, at least, of other ancient notable figures, people of God, men of God, whom Joseph Smith saw. Lucy Macksmith, in her famous account of Joseph Smith's life, said this, quote, Joseph would describe the ancient inhabitants of this continent, their dress, mode of traveling, and the animals upon which they rode, their cities, their buildings, and every particular about that, their mode of warfare, and also their religious worship. This he would do with as much ease, seemingly, as if he had spent his whole life with them, close quote. It was apparent that Joseph Smith's knowledge of the Nephites was not just a cursory thing, but something that had depth to it. During the early period of Joseph Smith's translation of the Book of Mormon, he did so with the Nephite interpreters. After they were taken away and the 116 pages were lost, the rest of the Book of Mormon was translated with the seer stone. He obtained this seer stone a couple of years before he even had his first vision. The discovery occurred before Moroni's visit. He had already been involved in having some revelations with it. And so this is a very important thing to know, that even before the first vision and before the time of the translation of the Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith had some degree of ability to see things, to have visions. Between 1822 and 1827, he had a number of visions by means of the seer stone, and he even had a reputation for that. According to Joseph Knight, at Joseph Smith's annual visit to the Hill Cumorah prior to getting the plates, Moroni told him, and this is something that we don't know from any other place, so presumably Joseph Smith mentioned this incident to him. And that's how we have it recorded. Hold that thought. I'm going to tell you what Joseph Knight says Joseph Smith told him after his 1826 visit to the Hill Cumorah to see Moroni. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. We'll be right back.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you have a question or comment about this show or any other programs, if you have a general religious question, feel free to send me an email. If I know the answer, I will give it to you instantly. If not, I'll be happy to do a little research and tell you what I might be able to discover. When we took our break, I mentioned that Joseph Knight described information which apparently Joseph Smith learned through his seer stone. What was that information? According to Joseph Knight, Moroni told Joseph Smith in September of 1826 that he could have the plates the following year, quote, if he brought the right person. And when Joseph Smith asked Moroni, who is the right person? The next visionary event, which shows that Joseph Smith was able to see many things through the seer stone, happened in May of 1828. What happened was that at the request of Oliver Cowdery and Joseph, David traveled from Fayette, New York, over 100 miles to Harmony, Pennsylvania, to take the two men back to his father's farmhouse so they could complete the translation of the Book of Mormon. And as David Whitmer neared Harmony, he was surprised to meet Joseph and Oliver, who were, according to him, quote, coming toward me and met me some distance from the house, close quote. David Whitmer described it a little more and said, Oliver told me that Joseph had told him when to start out because he had seen the events in vision and knew from that vision when to go and where they would be able to meet David Whitmer. That's remarkable. Moroni gave Joseph Smith possession of the plates on September 22nd of 1827, and when that happened, Joseph Smith had another vision. His entire past history was revealed to him. That is something that would be quite sobering. This helped Joseph Smith. This was, of course, for a learning experience. What else could it have been for? But it helped Joseph Smith to understand the prophetic events of his life and the importance of the things that he was to do in the future. Joseph Smith also at that point in time talked about the Urim and Thummim and the plates. And he said, Joseph said, this is 10 times better than I expected. And he said, quote, I can see anything in the spectacles. They are marvelous. Joseph Smith liked the spectacles more than he liked the plates. They were fascinating to him. The angel also showed Joseph Smith many things in vision and helped him acquire the ability to use the Nephite interpreters. One of the major purposes of the Nephite interpreters was, of course, to help Joseph Smith translate, but also to warn him of danger. And so he was able to see in the Nephite spectacles approaching danger and able to take evasive steps. After the 116 pages was lost, the entire Book of Mormon, which means all of the Book of Mormon that we now have, was translated apparently with the Urim and Thummim because the Nephite interpreters were not returned. Joseph Smith, however, was back in the good graces of the Father and the Son. We know that because after the Book of Mormon was translated and published, which happened in 1830, we have between 1831 and 1836 at least four occasions where Joseph Smith saw both the Father and Son in vision. The first of these was on June 4th of 1841 during a four-day conference held in Kirtland. Levi Hancock was present and stated that the vision occurred in a schoolhouse on the hill above the Isaac Morley farmhouse. Joseph stepped out of the floor and said, "I now see God and Jesus Christ at his right hand." Hancock's wording about this event suggests that a vision similar to that explained by Stephen in the New Testament in Acts chapter 7. He saw the Father and the Son before being stoned to death. Joseph Smith saw them both. He wasn't on the verge of being stoned to death at that point, but he saw both the Father and the Son. Joseph Smith and Sidney Rigdon together saw the Father and the Son in 1832 in a vision that we now call Section 76 of the Doctrine and Covenants. The highlight of this was a vision of the Father and the Son, which was apparently of considerable length. This was not a short vision. They described it this way, quote, "The glory of the Lord shone round about, and we beheld the glory of the Son on the right hand of the Father, and received of his fullness, and saw the holy angels and them who are sanctified before his throne, worshiping God and the Lamb, who worship him forever and ever," close quote. The quotation for that is section 76, verses 19 through 21. This was quite an incredible vision, and of course led them to make that prophetic and amazing statement that he lives, for we saw him even on the right hand of God, and we heard the voice bearing record that he is the only begotten of the Father. On March 18th of 1833, the Father and the Son again made a brief personal appearance that Joseph Smith saw. This was also seen by others. This was at the School of the Prophets. Zebedee Coltrane mentioned it in his own diary testimony, in which he said this, quote, "At one of these School of the Prophet meetings, after the organization of the school, we were all together. Joseph had given instructions, and while engaged in silent prayer, a personage walked through the room from east to west, and Joseph asked if we saw him. I saw him, and supposed the others did. And Joseph answered, 'That is Jesus.' Afterward, Joseph told us to resume our former position in prayer, which we did, and another person came through. He was surrounded as with a flame of fire." Close quote. After the prayer was completed, Joseph Smith identified this second personage as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, close quote. On January 21st of 1836, Joseph Smith received at least two and possibly three visions of different events. In one of these, he said he saw, quote, "the blazing throne of God, whereon was seated the Father and the Son," close quote. This became canonized in section 137 and is the fourth additional example of Joseph Smith seeing the Father and the Son. There are, in addition to these four Father and Son appearances that Joseph Smith saw, four separate occasions where Joseph Smith saw Jesus Christ. 13-year-old Mary Elizabeth Rollins was present when one of these visitations happened. She recorded the incident as occurring in 1831 at a meeting of the saints held at the Isaac Morley farm, wherein Joseph Smith was the main speaker. And she wrote down this, quote, "All at once, his countenance changed and he stood mute. Those looking at him said there was a searchlight within him over every part of his body. I never saw anything like it on earth. I could not take my eyes off him. He got so white that everyone who saw him would have thought he was transparent," close quote. Quite a remarkable statement from a very young lady. There are so many more examples of Joseph Smith's seeing ancient prophets that perhaps we'll take this up again next week. Join me then. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.